I think 15 years of my life. Last 15 years of my life, I can very vividly point to, very memorably point to four specific moments where I stood at a fork in the road, more or less, somewhat of a crossroads, maybe, if you will, and had a very big decision to make about my future and the days that were ahead for me. The first happened when I had graduated college and was deciding between a few different job opportunities in various places across the country. This was a big step for me, right? Out into the world, all on my own. What was I going to do? Also, side note, contemplating asking my girlfriend to be my wife. Big decisions, okay? The second was a few years later, deciding whether or not I should transition out of that very first job that I took after I graduated from college. Should I stay or should I go? Is this right for me? Is it not right for me? Right? If I go, where would I go and what exactly would I do? Huge decisions that I can remember weighing on me, tugging at my heart in different directions. The third of these moments was 3 years later, when I had completed my master's degree at a seminary in Chicago, and I was interviewing with a handful of churches from coast to coast about where indeed I would work and where I would move with my wife and my soon-to-be firstborn child. The fourth was just about 4 years ago when Erica and I were contemplating this whole church planting thing. Should we do it or should we not do it? Are we being really faithful or are we being really stupid, right? And if we are going to plant a church, where should we do it? Should we stay in Wisconsin? Should we jump over to Minnesota? Should we go back to Chicago or should we plant a church on the beach in Fiji? I don't know, right? They need Jesus there too. Maybe we could have given it a shot. We had tons of things to consider, and honestly, I mean, I can kind of laugh about it, but in each one of these moments, I never knew what to do. Four incredibly memorable. I mean, I can remember how I felt in each one of these moments. Four incredibly memorable and incredibly pivotal moments in my life, and in the midst of each one, there was one question that I was begging God to answer. Right? In the face of all of the decisions that I had to make, I remember pleading with God. That's a very accurate description. I remember pleading with God in the midst of these moments. I was pleading with God to answer clearly for me this one question. God, what do you want me to do? God, just tell me, what do you, I'm listening, God. I'm open. Would you please just tell me what to do? Okay, now I can't say for sure, but I'm willing to guess that many of you have felt the same way. I'm willing to guess that many of you have asked the very same question at a pivotal moment in your life. In fact, I wonder, I can't help but think actually, if more of us may be asking this question a whole lot more of God right now. I mean, the truth is this Labor Day weekend, it signals in so many ways, it signals the official end to summer. And so now school is starting, routine is returning, priorities are emerging, and the fall brings with it a sense of transition and a sense of decision-making for the days and for the weeks and for the months and for the year ahead. And so you may be in the process, maybe right now, you may be in the process of making a decision or a handful of decisions right now that you know will impact and influence your life for the foreseeable future. You may be making decisions about a new school year. You may be making a decision about new family rhythms in your life. You may be making a decision about what is going to be a priority in the coming days and weeks and months and what is not going to be a priority. You may be making a decision about a job or a career. Maybe you're wondering, if I make that choice or if I make that change, how will it impact my future and how will it impact the future of those around me? You may be making decisions right now about friendships in your life, wondering, man, are these the people that are going to really help me be the person I want to be? Are these the people that are going to really help me get to where I want to be in life? Maybe it's decisions about interests of yours or habits of yours. Maybe it's an addiction of yours, and you're wondering, hey, if I don't make a change now, how is this going to impact people around me? Maybe it's a decision about God and faith and church right now, and you're wondering if there is a new step, if there is a new commitment for you to make in this area of your life. I mean, I could go on. But the truth is, whatever decision that it is you are making right now, okay, whatever fork in the road that you're at, whatever crossroads you may be standing at, whatever decision it is, I think all of us know that these kind of decisions, they're important. We know how significant and important these decisions are. And while our situations may be different, here's what I think most of us have in common about all these decisions that very well may be different. Here's the one thing I think we have in common. We do not want to make the wrong one. Okay? Your decision is most likely very different than the decision of the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. But the one thing that you have in common with whatever decision that you are making is that you don't want to make the wrong one. When we're at a crossroads, we don't want to make the wrong move. We know that the decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell about our life tomorrow. I've heard it said before that we are the sum of all of the decisions that we make. Decision making is a big deal, and sometimes it's hard to know what decision is best. The wisdom book of Proverbs actually speaks to how difficult this can be. Look at what Proverbs 14:12 says. You can see it on the side screens. Here's what it says. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Okay? There is a path before each person and it seems right, but it ends in death. How many of you have ever made a decision in your life that seemed right, but it didn't go well in the end? Okay, don't point at him right now. Just a simple raise of the hand will do, okay? We've been there, right? Made a decision that seemed right in the moment, but didn't really go well in the end. We have all been there a time or two before. And so the question is, right, the question that I'm perpetually asking myself and the question that I wonder if you ask yourself at various times in your life that you want to know is this question right here. How do we make the right decision, right? Well, we're convinced that there is a right decision, that there is a right path, that there is a right direction for us to go. When we want to know, how do I know how to make the right decision? If you're a follower of Jesus, the other way to ask this question is this: how do we really know what God wants for our lives? How do we align our will or our desire for us with God's will or God's desire for us? See, if you've hung around in church for a while, you've probably heard this phrase quite often, God's will. Right? If you've been in church, you've heard the phrase quite often. We here at MidCurrent, we believe that the Bible teaches us that God does have a plan and a purpose and a will for our lives. And as Christians, our goal every single day is to live smack dab in the middle of it, in the middle of God's direction, God's plan, God's will for our lives. And we can turn to so many places in the Bible that talk about God's will for us. Here's one. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it says this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's what? God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. This is God speaking through his prophet Jeremiah. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. They're plans to give you a future and a hope." Okay? It seems somewhat obvious to me that if God has a will, if God has a plan for us, and if it truly is it's good and it's perfect and it's filled with hope, it seems to me that we would want to figure out what it is. And so it brings me back to that question. How do we know? How do we know what God wants for us? How do we discover, how do we sync up with God's will for our lives? Do we get only one chance? Okay. Is there one kind of make it or break it moment in each big decision that we are facing? Is there some kind of time limit or clock counting down on us? Was there one person that we were meant to meet or one person that we were supposed to marry? And if we missed them, well, then we missed out on God's will for us. I would say the answer to those questions is no, 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 and no again, right? Syncing up with God's will for our lives right now, this fall, I think it looks just a little bit different than any of that. And so today, what I want to try to do is suggest to you how it is that we really can start to determine more of God's will and God's plan and God's direction for our lives. And so to do that, I want to turn back to this wisdom book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And I want to read for you what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend. Some translations say, do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will, and he will show you which path to take. I want to start with the very, very last phrase here. He will show you which path to take. He'll show you. Is that not what we are after? Is that not what we want to know? Right? Isn't that what we are oftentimes desperate for God to reveal to us? God, which way should I go? I know that's what I wanted each and every time I was at a fork in the road. I mean, truthfully, at each one of those moments, there was some bit of tension that I could feel in my life. And I desperately wanted to know, God, just show me which way to go. In fact, there was a prayer that I prayed on repeat during each of those kind of major times of transition in my life. I can still remember that prayer to this day. It's actually a prayer that I just pulled right out of Psalm 5 that I memorized, and I prayed over and over again on repeat. It was this prayer right here. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Tell me clearly what to do and show me which way to turn. All the time I would pray this. God, please just lead me in the right path, O Lord, or this is not going to work out for me. Tell me clearly what to do and just show me. God, would you just show me? Just show me which way to turn. That's what I wanted so badly in each of these decisions. And I think that's what so many Jesus following people want. We want God to tell us clearly, and we want God to just show us which way to turn. In many ways, I started thinking, we just want God to be a whole lot like Siri. God, who should I marry? Guy in the third row, fourth seat from the left. Okay, sorry if that's you here today, okay? God, should I actually take that new job? Yes, seems like a good opportunity. Tell your boss tomorrow you quit at 2 p.m. That'd be helpful, right? God, Vikings or Packers, does it matter? Yes, of course. Everyone knows God loves Vikings fans the best. God, what church should I go to? Well, duh, Midcurrent is the obvious choice. And make sure you join one of their ministry teams this fall, okay? Shameless plug there. You get the idea. We want turn-by-turn directions. We want step-by-step direction from God. The problem is God does not operate like Siri. There's no turn right in 1 mile. There's no in 600 feet turn left kind of specificity. And that's why this promise in the book of Proverbs, that's why it gets my attention. And that's why this promise I think should get all of our attention, because the writer says what? He will show you which path to take. In other words, he will make his will and his purpose and his plan for us obvious to us. That's huge. I mean, this is great news for you and for me, that God would make the right path obvious to us. But here's the deal. We have to be very clear about what exactly is being promised to us. The promise is that this will be obvious to us, yes, but automatic? Not so much. And so what I want to do now is I want to just look at this promise again. I want to look at it just a little closer so we can discover the premise behind the promise, okay? Because we have to ask ourselves in some sense, what's our part in claiming this promise? What's our part? So here's that verse one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. The way I see it, our part, it's threefold. It's threefold. Here's number one right here, our part in claiming this promise. Number one is this, to trust. It says it very clearly. We have to trust God with all of our heart. We put all of our weight on him. We lean fully onto him. We have to wholeheartedly, with our whole selves, we have to believe that what he has for us is good for us. We have to let his desire become our desire. We have to trust that what he wants for us is good. The challenge is this. Okay, if we have to trust God with all of our heart that what he wants is best, the challenge, I think, is this. Most of us do want what God wants for us, but there's always a but. Yeah, I want what God wants for me, but I don't always trust that it's best for me. I want to be a spiritual contributor, but it feels so much better to be a spiritual consumer. I want to be spiritually fed, but I don't really want to help feed or lead other people along the way. I want to be blessed, but I don't really want to be generous. I want to be forgiven, but I don't really want to let other people off the hook, right? Where we say, I want what you got. Sure, I do. I want what you want. I just don't want it to really cost me anything. I want what you got. I want what you want for me, but I'm not always convinced that it's best for me. It's the challenge, right? God promised direction, that he would make his path obvious to us. But I think it starts when we trust God with all of our heart and when we truly trust with our whole selves that his way is the best way in all areas of our lives. That's trust. It's number one. Here's number two. We have to refuse. Refuse what? We have to refuse to depend on, to lean on our own understanding, right? We cannot let our mind and our understanding and our view of things and our preference for all things be the thing that guides us only. We have to refuse to return to usual patterns and to normal ways of thinking and to status quo in terms of making decisions around us. We have to refuse to lean on our selves. And so this is another part of this challenge, right? In this regard, we may still want what God wants for us. It's just that we want it now, right? In our limited understanding, in our limited, you know, view of things, in our limited perspective of what is best for us, we think, well, I want what you want for me, but I want it now, right? I want those blessings that you promised, God, I just want them now, right? You may want that new car or that better car, and you've waited long enough for it, and you need a new car, and sure, you have a ton of debt, and you don't have an emergency fund saved up, but you want it, and you want it now. Maybe you want a new house, and you want it now. You want a bigger garage now or a bigger basement now that needs a bigger TV to be a bigger man cave, right? You want it for you, and you want it now. Or maybe you aren't married yet, but you're in love, and now you want to do what people who are in love do. Or you want to play house right now, or you want to start your life together right now. You're going to get married eventually anyway. Be cheaper to have one mortgage, right? And so you just don't want to wait for God's timing. You want what God wants for you ultimately, but you want it when? You want it now. See, all too often we lean on our own understanding of things, our own timing of things. We rely on our own strength, our own intelligence, our own estimation of the decisions and the choices that we have in front of us. And we calculate. And when we put the whole thing into the equation and we think, yeah, I want this. I want what God wants for me, but I want it now. But God's promise to us, if we come back to the wisdom here, that the promise to us, the obvious path for us, it demands that we refuse to play God. That we refuse to convince ourselves that we know more than God about what really is best for us. We do not and we cannot lean on our own understanding. We cannot depend on our own understanding and our own estimation of what it is that's best for us. That's number two. Here's number three. It says it plainly. We have to seek his will. If the challenge in trusting God with all of our heart is that we want what God wants, but, and if the challenge in refusing to play God is that we want what God wants now, then seeking God's will in all that we do is an invitation for us to want what God wants, period. Proverbs says to seek God's will in all that we do, all that we do. Okay? Not just when we're in crisis, not just once in a while, not just on Sundays, not just on January 1st when we're making New Year's resolutions, right? But seek God's will in all that we do, in everything that we do every day. All right, we trust, we refuse, and we seek. And if you ask me, if you take those words or those phrases even, and you boil them down, if you take those three words and you just actually put them into one word, I think you get the word dependence. And so this leads me to the one big idea for this message today that I want to share with you, right? If we want to know God's will for us, if we want to know which decision is the right decision, if God's direction in our life is going to be obvious for us, here's what I think we need to understand. Divine direction follows daily dependence. Right? The divine direction that we want God to spray paint in the sky, right? Divine direction, it follows daily dependence. In other words, before God's big direction is revealed to me, I may have to release all of my own ideas, all of my own desires, all of my own doubts, and daily invite God to direct my life. There's a Christian author and pastor named Henry Blackaby that sums this up perfectly in writing of his, and here's what he says. He said, God's assignments come to you on a daily basis. He is more likely to call you to follow one day at a time than he is to spell out all the details before you begin to obey him. When you follow his leadership one day at a time, you will always be right in the middle of God's will for your life. Midcurrent, what I want you to consider today is this. Right? Before we can get into the specific understanding of God's will or God's plan or God's path or God's direction for us, where should I go? Who should I marry? Should I stay or should I go? Before we can be sure that we have made the right decision, we have to make the most important decision first, which is to trust with all our heart, refuse to play God, and to seek God's will in all we do. The key to making the most important decision is understanding that it's not just a one-time decision, right? The decision is one that we have to wake up every morning and make. It's a daily decision in our lives. Why? Because I think divine direction follows daily dependence. So let me just ask you then today, Midcurrent Church, what decisions are you contemplating today, right? What decisions are before you right now in this season of your life, and who are you depending on? Who are you leaning on? Who are you looking to for direction? Are you leaning on and depending on Jesus? Are you leaning on and depending on God's wisdom for your life, or are you leaning on and depending on your own wisdom, your own understanding, your own desires, your own estimation, your own wants, and your own will to direct your path? Right? When you look back on your life in December, right, will you be any closer to God? Okay? Will you truly be letting him guide you? Will you be in stride, in sync with God's will? Or will you, or will we, or will I be stuck right where we are right now? Here's what I want to do to end our time here this morning. I'm actually going to ask Brian to come back and join me here on stage. And I just want to allow a moment for you, right, to sit. I want to allow a moment for you to think and to pray even and to reflect on your life this fall and the decisions that are in front of you. And I want you to spend just a moment here as we wrap things up. I want you to spend just a moment asking God to divinely direct you with the decisions that you've got to make, with the choices that you are contemplating, with the options that you are juggling right now. The truth is that before the biggest decision of Jesus's life, before he went to the cross for all of humanity, what did he do? He stopped and he paused and he prayed to God saying, God, I would rather not go through with this, but not my will. Your will be done. And so I want for all of us to do the very same thing in our lives right now. And so as Brian plays just a little music for us, just to create some space for you, I want you to take a moment to seek God's will for everything in front of you, everything that's weighing on your heart, everything that's weighing on your shoulders, everything that you're juggling right now. I want you to take a moment to seek God's will for everything in front of you right now. Because the truth is, when God is leading your life, it's exactly where you are supposed to be. So take a moment right now to seek God's will for you in the face of what's to come in your life right now. Maybe in this moment right now, ask God to highlight for you an area of your life where you are not trusting him with your whole heart, that what he wants for you is best. Maybe ask God to help highlight for you or identify a place in your life specifically where you need to refuse to play God. Ask God to highlight for you any area in your life right now that you need to refuse to lean on your own understanding of what it is that's best for you. Finally, here in this moment, maybe now is the time for you to truly, honestly, genuinely seek God's will for you, for whatever it is that you are facing or weighing or juggling or contemplating or carrying. Seek God's will here in this moment. Ask Him to make it obvious to you and to give you the faith and the confidence and the trust to pursue it with all that you have. God, we give you so much thanks for who you are. We give you thanks for the promise that you do have a plan for us, each of us here, God. No matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter what we did last night or last week or last year, God, no matter how many times we've been in church, thank you so much for the promise that you have a plan for us that is so good, that's perfect, and that's full of so much hope, that's full of such a bright future for us. God, I just pray that each person sitting here would genuinely want to be living right smack dab in the middle of that plan that you have. So God, would you help us to identify where we're not trusting, where we're not seeking. God, would you help us to identify where we're leaning too much on ourselves and not leaning so much or depending so much on you. God, would you, in only the way that you can, God, so full of truth and so full of grace, would you maybe point out to us those areas of our lives where we could trust more, where we could depend more on you and on what you say is best for us. God, as we head into just kind of a new season, that's what fall signals, transition, routine, normalcy, maybe something new, God, as we set into what's ahead. God, as we face decisions, as we carry burdens or worries, or as we juggle options wondering what's best, would you find a way to make it obvious to us, God? And would you give us the courage to do it, to follow after you wherever it is that you might be leading us, God? In our families, in our marriages, in our community, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, God, in this church, we just pray that the next season ahead would be filled with your blessing, God. We pray that it would be filled with so much fullness, so much life. So God, we offer ourselves to you. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, right? Who modeled this in just unthinkable ways for us, God. What it means to truly say, not my will, but your will be done. God, not only do we look to his example to follow, but we look to the sacrifice that he made, that you made, and we give you so much thanks because it is a gift to us, a gift that we did not deserve. And so God, we give you thanks for closing the gap. We give you thanks for stepping into the gap that existed between us and between you. We thank you for making a way back to you, God, for making a way to be in such a good and perfect and pleasing relationship with you once again. God, would you be our guide this fall in all the places and the areas of our lives that matter most? God, and may we honor you every step of the way. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, we are so glad you could be here today. We're so glad to end this season with you and to step off into the next season ahead as well. A season here at Midcurrent Church that we are really, really, really excited about. And it all kicks off next week with our fall kickoff. And we hope that you would be here. We're starting a brand new series called Two Truths and a Lie. Well, we're gonna talk about the reasons why we did and didn't start this church here in the St. Croix Valley. We're really excited about it, as well as everything else that is to come. And so we hope that we would see you next week here on site or online at 10:30 a.m. If there is any reason that you could be prayed for, is any reason that you would be in need of prayer this morning, someone's gonna be here off to my right, available to pray for you for whatever it is that you may need this morning. Other than that, have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless you.